verse 31. And tonight, I just want to preach a title, Thank God for Barnabas. Thank God for Barnabas. You don't hear, you're not going to hear a lot about Barnabas and in the Word of God, in the book of Acts. You'll hear about him. You'll hear about him in some of Paul's writings as he gets into the epistles there. But Barnabas was one that Paul saw, but Paul thought a lot of. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I have some Barnabases in my life. When the world, when they'll sift you, it'll hurt you. It'll come against you. There'll be a man of God that'll stand up with you. Here, Barnabas comes, and the other apostles wanted nothing to do with Saul at this time, but Barnabas did. Tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn to Acts 9, verse 26, and I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word today. Thank God for Barnabas. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, this is the Apostle Paul who they're afraid of. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord, how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Our Father and our God, as we stand tonight and we reverence the reading of your word tonight, I thank you tonight for Brother J.D., Father God, as he stood Sunday morning and preached Thus Saith the Word of God. I thank you for Brother Jake that stood Sunday night and preached Thus Saith the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are faithful to be here tonight. Lord, I lift them up to you tonight, Father. Lord, they're sickness all around the building. We've heard in prayer requests tonight. Father God, we've heard it all around, Father. But we've also heard tonight of praise reports, Father God, of how you've reached down and you've touched in a mighty way. I thank you for Sister Tanya tonight and the report that she got. I thank you tonight already for the report Brother Lee's going to get Friday as he goes for his scans. Lord God, I thank you that you're already there and you're already touching. Lord God, I pray tonight you be with the James Murray family, Father God. I pray you touch them, the Weeks family that has laid one to rest. Lord God, I pray tonight that you be with them. I pray tonight, as Brother Brad said, hey, that we, this ain't no joke, the revival that's coming. Lord God, it's just on a calendar and we can already get ready. Father, we don't have to wait on revival. Father, revival's already here. Lord God, it's already in our heart, already in our soul, already in our mind. Lord God, I just pray that in my life there be some things that I'll lay to the side during that week, and I won't let it hinder me or hurt me in any way. I just get under the spout where the glory runs out. Father, I thank you tonight for the Barnabases as are in my life, Lord God, that has reached out and helped me in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight if there's one in this room tonight that feels like they've got nobody, I pray tonight that they understand that there is Barnabases still left amongst us that'll come up and they'll encourage somebody tonight. Father, I thank you that you've allowed me to stand once again behind this sacred desk. I thank you for healing my little boy. I thank you for healing me. I thank you for your healing power tonight, Father. I pray tonight for Sister Brenda's brother, Lord God, that is having stomach issues. I pray tonight he would reach down from heaven and touch there in a mighty way tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for Dustin, that Father God, that's got to come home early, Lord God, that Father God, what the doctor said might not be but 10 days. Lord God, he come home before that, Lord God. I thank you that you're still passing by. And Lord, I pray tonight you touch this sermon. Lord, I pray you touch my throat, touch my thoughts, touch everything I'd say. Lord, I pray it be all about you. Oh, glory to God. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask tonight that you guard my throat. You let me speak what you'd have me to speak. You'd restore my strength the way you'd have it to be. And Lord, I'll be careful to give you the honor, all the praise, all the glory, because you are my helper. You are my healer. You are my Savior. Oh, but most of all, you're my shepherd. And Lord, I thank you for this night. Bless your people in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I love going wide open. But sometimes COVID won't let you go wide open. Amen? But God. I want to share with you tonight, and I'm going to slow down. Thank God for Barnabas's. Tonight, Saul here, he came and he was converted. He had been born again, but the apostles wasn't having anything of it. He came and he had done spoke the name of Jesus, but in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he wanted to join them, the disciples, but they were afraid of him and they were having nothing of it. But Barnabas, in verse 27, it said that he took him and stood up for him. I say tonight, I thank God for Barnabas's that'll stand up and help new converts. Can I get an amen? Hey, you've lived in the world. You've dirtied yourself up. You didn't have to do anything to dirty yourself up. You was born a sinner. Hey, none of us was born innocent. We were all born with a sin nature. We all was born with that Adam nature inside of us and in need of a Savior. And as we come tonight and we see, I thank God for that Barnabas that'll stand up. But I will say this tonight, and I don't want to be misunderstood tonight, but I will say, if you have been saved, you need to act like it. I will say tonight, if you've been saved, you're going to have to prove yourself to the church body. I hear a lot of people, especially new young converts, saying, I don't have nothing to prove to nobody. That's nothing but cockiness and pride. Tonight, I want you to know that if you've been saved and you've been brought out of this dark and dying world, you must prove yourself to that local body church and people will stand beside you. Let me also say tonight, if you have rededicated your life, you need to prove yourself in a different way. Hey, tonight, if you've been laid out, laid up, and laid back and don't care what goes on inside the local body, and then you rededicate your life and you get back on fire, people has watched how you live, and you're going to have to get back in good standing with the local body church. Here, Saul, all he had done up to this point was he wanted to kill the disciples. He had stood here... And he had handled the death of our brother here. And as we get to this place, I want you to know, I thank God for Barnabas that came up beside him. This week when I read this passage, I called Brother David Barnes. And the first thing I told Brother David Barnes 10 years ago, I said, I thank God that you took a chance on me. He was the chairman over the nominating committee, the pastor search committee. I thank God he knew my past. He knew where I had been. He knew what all had went on in my life. Hey, but he still come to Morville, Mississippi with four more in this church. And they came over there and they gave me a chance. And you know what Brother David said when he came back to the church? We're not going to have a preacher off and see who is the best preacher or who can deliver the best. We want who God will send this way. And I thank God for people that knows my past, but they say, I'm going to stand behind you. I want you to know tonight, you can go to Marion County Courthouse. You can pull up my name. You can see my past and you can pull it up and you can find out all kind of things about me. Hey, but there's one thing you won't find at the courthouse. I'm not there no more. Can I get an amen? Hey, here I want you to know there was a lot of things that you can accuse Saul of. There's a lot of things that you could say that was going on in his life, but he no longer was that. He was a free man. Hey, but the other apostles wanted nothing to do with him. Hey, they was afraid of him. They was scared of him. Hey, but there was one named Barnabas. He was not afraid of him and he was not scared of him. He took him in. And tonight I thank God for Barnabas is number one in verse number 27 because Barnabas took him in. Here's what he said. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Tonight I understand that Barnabas took him when others was afraid of him. Hey, Barnabas gave him a chance. Hey, Barnabas stood up there and gave him what he needed in his life. I'd ask you tonight, do you know anybody in your life that didn't bring your past up? Hey, but they stood beside you. They helped you. They mentored you. They gave you peace in your life when everybody else was bringing turmoil. Hey, tonight others was afraid of him and others didn't believe in him. Hey, but Barnabas stood up, and tonight I want you to know the Bible says, but Barnabas took him. You say, preacher, what does that mean that he took him? Number one, tonight he rescued him from being isolated. There's nothing worse than being born again, and the church folks isolate themselves from you.
You've been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, and the church folks want nothing to do with you. Hey, you don't line up with them. Hey, you don't act like them at that moment. They think you're still an outcast. Can I say to you tonight, when you get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not who you used to be. Can I get an amen? He says tonight that Barnabas, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 36, I want to show you this, what Barnabas means in the Bible tonight. Hey, when Barnabas came and he took him, he said tonight he wasn't afraid of him and he believed in him. Hey, tonight I thank God that there's people in this church that when you come in, they people love on you, don't you? Hey, tonight Barnabas means this in verse number 36. And Jose, who being the apostle, was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted, the son of consolation. Hey, Levi in the country of Cyprus. Hey, tonight I want you to know he was that son of consolation, or he was that one that would give an encouragement. There's nothing does my heart any better. Hey, then when people encourages me and they encourage you, hey, they come up beside you and they lift you up. Hey, they take you right where you need to be. Have you ever been a place in your life where you didn't think, hey, you could get to where Jesus was. Hey, you couldn't get to where you needed to be. And then some brother or some sister come up beside you. Hey, you were down and out and you needed help and you needed rescue. And somebody come up beside you when everybody else looked down their old long nose at you and they mentored to you. I'll never forget, I hadn't been saved very long. I mean, not long at all. And I was at Detroit First Baptist and Brother Steve Spruill, I'll never forget it. He was about 6'7", probably 340 pounds. I'm talking about a man of God, oh big beast. I mean, he was huge, and he had a brown paper sack, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He had that brown paper sack, and he was a deacon at the church. Hey, but he had a past like I had. Hey, he knew what it was to live in addiction. Hey, he knew what it was to be bound down. Hey, his family may not tell you that, but you listen to me. That man of God would stand. Hey, been days in my life, and you ask this black-headed woman, hey, we'd be getting ready for church, and he'd pull up, and he'd say, let's not go to church today. Hey, let's sit under this old oak tree. Hey, let's talk about God. Hey, I'm in a deep place and I'm in a dark place. Hey, can we just pray? Hey, can we just talk to God? I'd stick my head back in the door and I'd tell Brandy, hey, we're not going to church today. His brother's in need and he needs help. Hey, we'd sit on that tailgate and we'd talk. Hey, but I'd never forget that night. Hey, they was passing out some keys in the church. And everybody that was in the church was getting a key to the church. And he went around, he was giving everybody a key to the church. I hadn't even been baptized yet. All I'd been was saved. And Brother Steve come around to where I was, and he said, hey, I want to give you a key to the church. And Brother Austin, I stepped back, because you know how I am, man. I stepped back and I said, hey, listen here, man. You don't want me to have a key, hey, to your church. You don't want me to have a key to your church. And he said, listen here, young man. And I looked up and I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. This ain't my church. This is his church. Can I get an amen? I thank God for Barnabases that'll stand up and they'll take you where you need to be. I thank God tonight for men of God and women of God that when everybody else is giving up and getting out, hey, they're sticking with the stuff, Brother Brad. They're not giving up. Even though they go through hell, they're sticking with Jesus. I thank God for Barnabases that are in my life, and I know you thank them for in your life as well. Number one tonight, I see a Barnabas that took him. Here, look here, after he done took him, look what he said in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 in verse number 15. Here's what old Saul or Apostle Paul told Timothy. He said, I want you to know, son, I've been through a lot. I've been through the highs and I've been through the lows. He said, but in 1 Timothy 4:15, he said, I want you to know something. And here's what he told him in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 in verse number 15. He said, when it all looks doomed and nobody wants nothing to do with you and they think you're too young. Hey, you listen to me tonight when he says, let no man, hey, despise your youth in verse number 12. That don't mean that he was young in age. I hear a lot of people preach that he was young in age. Hey, you listen to me tonight. That meant he was young in the faith. Here's what he told him though. He said, I want you to know. I want you to meditate in verse 15 upon these things. He said, I want you to meditate. I want you to get in that word of God. I want you to stand in that book. I want you to meditate on the God of that book. You let the God of that book get all inside of you. You let him go from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Hey, you let him saturate you. young brother. Hey, tonight he says, I want you to meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting, look at this, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, you stick with that book. You study that book. You wear that book out and let that book wear you out. And when them naysayers come and they think you're a threat and they're afraid of you and they don't want nothing to do with you, you stick by that book and you show them that there is a God in heaven. Amen? And old Barnabas had done that to Saul here. Number one, I see Barnabas took him in verse 27. But I see something else in verse 27. Not only did he take him, but he brought him. He said there's something different in taking and bringing. You take something, but when you bring it, look at this tonight, look what he says. But Barnabas took him and brought him. Not only did he take him, but he brought him. I thank God tonight that when I couldn't take myself, somebody else brought me. Amen. I thank God tonight when nobody else, somebody brought me. No, you listen to me tonight. Somebody brought me. Man, somebody helped me. I'm telling you tonight. Have you ever been there, man? There's one thing to be took to church, but it's something else when somebody brings church to you. Whoa, glory to God. Look what he says tonight in verse 27. He brought him. He said, what did he bring him, preacher? What did he take him to? I see tonight he brought him to the apostles. He brought him to the apostles. To the ones that didn't want nothing to do with him, he brought him right in. To the ones who wanted to look down on him, he brought him right in. To the ones thought he wasn't good enough, you know what he did? He brought him right in. To the ones that said, hey, looking down on him, he brought him right in. To the ones that was dressed different than him, he brought him right in. You know what? Tonight he brought him right into where the apostles was, Brother Roy, and he brought him right into the inner circle. To the ones, they said, man, we're scared of him. We're afraid of him. He's been killing Christians, and you want us to have something to do with him? Here's what Barnabas said. He said, man, not only have I took him to you, but I brought him. I'm here standing with him. I'm standing with him through the fire. I'm standing through him when everybody's afraid of him and they don't know what to do. I'm standing here with him. There's somebody here tonight that needs to be stood with, I'm sure. Man, all hell's coming on you. Everything's coming against you. And even church people are looking down on you. Can I get a witness? Man, listen to me tonight. You start talking Jesus. You start preaching Jesus. People are going to look down on you. You're one of them Jesus freaks. Holy roller. Thank God for that. Amen. Man, you ought to hear what they used to call me. Woo, glory. Thank God for that. Amen. And here's what he said. He said, not only did I take him, but I brought him. Look at this tonight. He said, I brought him right to where the apostles was, and I brought him right to the inner circle. I brought him. Listen to who he brought him to. He brought him to Peter. He brought him right to where Peter was. Peter didn't want nothing to do with it, but Peter's the same one denied Jesus. Who makes you think you better than Saul, Peter? I done been at home way too long. I done read way too much. I understand. He brought him right to Peter. Peter's the one that wanted nothing to do with him. He brought him right to John, the one that's supposed to be loved and laid on the breast of Jesus, but he don't want nothing to do with him. He brought him right to James, the half-brother of Jesus. He didn't want nothing to do with him. He brought him right to Andrew, that wants everybody to follow Jesus, but he didn't want nothing to do with this man. Why? Because he was scared of him. Can I say to you tonight, when God changes your life, there are going to be some people in the local body church that are going to be scared of you. You keep an eye on them, preacher. You watch them, preacher. It's not my job to watch you. Boy, that should have been an amen. Can I say to you tonight, it ain't your job to watch me. It's my job to love you, Roy Parker. No matter, I love you. I love you. I got to love you just like you are. I can't change you. I can't make you do nothing. All I can do is love you and be a Barnabas and come up beside you and encourage you when you fall, when you falter, when anything goes on in your life, just encourage you. And tonight, if I do the same thing, only thing you're supposed to do is encourage me, love me, help me. The world's going to beat you enough. If you slip up and mess up and say a cuss word or do something that you think God's covered you under, the world's going to do enough to beat you down and belittle you. They're going to do that. We got to have Barnabases in this place that comes up beside somebody and says, hey, man, it ain't over. Pick it up. Let's go. Hey, a bunch of cheerleaders. Have you ever seen a cheerleader at a ball game? Have you ever seen one? Man, I want you to think about this. I'd go over. My daughter was a cheerleader, and we'd go to Selligent and watch, and we didn't have a very good football team that year. I'm telling you, son, it'd be 50 to nothing on the scoreboard, and they'd holler, we're number one. I'm thinking, now, we're getting beat 50 to nothing. You telling me we number one? And then they holler, take that ball across the line, and we on defense. I look at Brandon, I said, there ain't no football. But you know what? They didn't care if they knew football. They didn't care. Listen to me. They didn't care. Only thing they knew is they was 11 boys on the field, and all they was going to do is root them on. Win, lose, or draw, they was rooting them on. Hey, tonight, I want you to know as your pastor, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to root you on. You listen to me tonight. I want to love you and I want you to love me. I want to take you where God wants you to be and I want to bring you right to the presence of God. That's what I want tonight. That's what I want in this place. Them girls don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue what's going on. The only job they had was to cheerlead and root them on. Tonight I want you to know if you're getting beat to death, you don't need me to tell you you're getting beat to death. Satan riding you sideways, you don't need me to tell you Satan riding you sideways. You need me to tell you what Brother Boyd said. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Brother Boyd. You know what Barnabas told Saul? He said, them other boys don't want you, but hey, come on, I can take you right where you need to go. Tonight, I want you to know as your pastor, I don't know a lot, but I can take you right where you need to go because I've been there. I can take you to Jesus. I can take you right to the presence of Almighty God. Quit bragging, preacher. I'm not bragging, son. I know what the presence is. I know what the power is. I know when the glory falls. You don't think let me tell you this. Whoa, glory, let me tell you where I messed up this week. Where I messed up. Man, when I walked out of this pulpit Wednesday, I went home Thursday. I woke up Thursday morning, I couldn't even talk. Probably won't be able to talk in the morning. Probably won't, but that's okay. Hey, that's okay. He didn't give me this to keep quiet, amen? He put this gospel, Brother Brad, I'm in revival already, amen? Man, I'm telling you, it bubbles up inside. And I sat there Thursday sicker than a dog. See? Friday sicker than a dog. Brother Boyd calls, and I'm not giving him no praise. This ain't nothing to you. Not one praise goes to Boyd Merchant, okay? Not one praise goes to this man, none. He's nothing. He's a nobody. He's just a servant of God. Same as you, same as me. He's a nobody, okay? So don't give him no power. Don't give him no glory. Don't give me none. We give it all to Jesus. That's the way he wants. That's the way I want it. He calls. You home, preacher? It's 9:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, I'm home, but I got COVID. I'm thinking, right? I said, I'm home, but listen, I'm pretty sick. Preacher, I'm coming through your area. I'm going to come by and anoint you. And I'm thinking, man. Okay, yeah, come on. He comes by. I said, bring it. No, he's bringing it. He's coming. He comes in the house. I'm sitting there, and I mean, I'm sick. I'm talking like kids right here. But a Barnabas has showed up. A Barnabas has showed up, an encourager. He comes in, he reads James 5:16, comes down through there. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him in the prayer of faith. That prayer of faith. There's something about the prayer of faith. Nothing about me, but praying in faith. Brother Boyd pours anointing oil in his hand. Are y'all okay with this? Okay. Okay, I'm making sure y'all good with this now. Because I want you to be able to handle it and take it. I don't take you to where I was at and didn't do. I want you to learn from my disobedience that you may be obedient, okay? He rubs that on my hand, on his hands. He rubs my face down. He rubs my nose like this. A grown man now, listen to me. A grown man rubs my nose. He's all up in my stuff. Sister Shannon's my doctor and she don't even do this. I mean, he's all up in my stuff. You hear me? He is taking me somewhere and bringing me to where I really need to go. And he's in my stuff, comes down my face, down my beard, around my throat, and he's speaking Jesus all over me. And when he gets done, he said, brother, I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to go. Have a good day. And walks out of the house. My mind's telling me, you got COVID. My heart's telling me, you're healed. You're healed. You're fine. My sister calls and says, I'm bringing the test up. I get the test out, and my heart's telling me, believe the anointing. My mind's telling me, you're sicker than a dog. I take that test. Call Brandy Teller. 3 hours later, I'm feeling great. My voice is clear. No snot. I'm feeling great. She didn't get home with my medicine yet. I mean, I am feeling great. And I said, I'm negative. Lord, I didn't obey. I trust you so much. Listen, you can trust him all you want, but if you ain't going to obey, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. Trust him all you want to trust him. Believe all you want to believe. But if you're not going to obey, it won't do you a bit of good. You're going to pay for it if you don't obey. Cost me 5 days, Brother Roy. Cost me 2 times in that pulpit. I thank God for Jake. I thank God for JD. But listen to me. I can't sit and listen to another man preach every day of my life. He's called me to preach. Not about me, but what he's put inside of me. So I'm sitting there, Brother Harold. I go in the kitchen. I get me another test. I run it up that nose. Negative. Boy, I'm mad. I've done called Jake. I done called JD. I done called the deacons. I am fired up. I called Brandy squalling. Mad at myself. And I want to beat my brains in, Brother Austin. I'm tired. You know how it is. Don't hit the sheetrock because you got to replace that. She said, how was you positive? And 3 hours later, you're like, what are you going on? And I said, Brother Boyd, come by. What's Brother Boyd got to do? He come by and anointed me and I didn't obey. I trusted enough to let him come, but I didn't trust enough to not test. Well, when I get home, we'll take two more. I thought it wouldn't have been a good, but we'll take them. We took two more negative. Saturday, we took two more. My nose is rawer than you've ever seen. Two more, we're negative. Sunday morning, it's running up in there again. We're negative. I trusted him, but I didn't obey him. And for 5 days, I had to sit there and endure not obeying. I trusted a man of God to come and do what the Scripture says, but he hadn't got out of my driveway good enough. My mind was telling me, you better test. Tonight, let me tell you something tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. There's Barnabases in our life, and God sends them our way. And when God sends them your way, you trust them, and you obey the work of the Lord. They'll take you somewhere, and they'll bring you somewhere. Let me show you this in the text tonight. That's the honest to God truth if I've ever told it in the ministry. That's the honest to God truth tonight. I see tonight that Barnabas brought him to the apostles, brought him to the inner circle, and he brought Saul's testimony. All he had to go on was what he had heard about Saul with his own ears and seen with his own eyes. Look what he says here, if you will, with me. And here's when he says this, when he brought his testimony. Here's what he said in verse 27. He says, and declared unto them. Who declared unto them? Not Saul didn't. Barnabas did. Here's what he declared unto them. He said he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He didn't preach he didn't preach me, but he preached Jesus. Tonight, if you want to know if you're a Barnabas or not, here's a good inkling tonight. If it's all about you, you're not a Barnabas. If you can't talk without saying I, me, or me, or me, or me, you're not a Barnabas. You're self-centered. You're not looking to help. You're looking to hurt. You're looking what you can get and not what you can give. Tonight when Barnabas come, he didn't give his testimony. He gave the testimony of Saul. He said, this is the man. I want you to know that Jesus has touched. And tonight, I want you to know the third thing. When I read this, thank God for Barnabas. Number one, Barnabas took him. Number two, Barnabas brought him. He had seen the Lord. He had spoke to the Lord. And he had preached Jesus. But the third thing was, is Barnabas trusted him. Not only did he take him, and not only did he bring him, but he trusted him. When I wrote this sermon out, and I read this text, that's one thing I didn't do. I allowed him to come. I let him bring the anointing oil, but I didn't trust the anointing. If you won't trust the anointing, you're useless. We walk by faith and not by sight. That test showed me something. My faith was telling me different. You're talking about a battle in that double-wide trailer on Mills Hill, son. There's a battle. When COVID hit, Brother Harold told me something. And he don't even know what I'm fixing to say, but it's rung in my ear true. Was talking about how COVID was shutting everything down. He said, yeah, but you can't stay on Mills Hill forever. You got to come off that hill sometime. I got to come out from where I live. So I got to come out sometime. We can't stay caged up forever. And what's going to allow us to come out? What's going to allow this church to see revival? What's going to allow us to get to where God wants us to be and not be some blow up revival and blow back down? But I'm talking about a revival. A revival ain't what goes on right now. It's what you'll talk about 2 or 3 years down the road, how it's changed your life, how it's changed my life. And the only way we're going to have that is by trusting God. He said not only did he take him, not only did he bring him, but he trusted him. Look what he says here, verse 28 and 31. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. He disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they had brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You know why he trusted him? Number one, Saul's attitude had changed. His attitude had changed. He ain't who he used to be. His attitude changed. He was with them. He wasn't against them. He was with them. Before, you know what he was wanting to do? He was wanting to be the top dog. You know what he is now? He's the underdog. Man, he's going all around Damascus. He's killing people, man. You hear me? Brother Austin, he's killing people. He's the top dog. I mean, everybody's scared of Paul. It's Saul at this time. When he gets saved, he's no longer the top dog. He's the underdog. You ever seen somebody like that? The life they lived, man, they did everything. There's the life of the party. They had it all going on. And then God touched them, saved them. No longer was they up here, but they become the underdog. I thank God for being an underdog, don't you? I like being an underdog. I like being that one nobody, hey, it won't work, but it works. His attitude had changed in verse 28, but in verse number 29, his actions had changed. If you don't know tonight if you're a Barnabas tonight, if you don't know tonight if you've been changed, if you don't know if you're an apostle tonight, listen to me, or like Saul was, listen to me. Your attitude's going to change one thing, but your actions are going to change. Look at what he says tonight in verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Saul went around and he was standing with Barnabas. Barnabas is battling his case back and forth. And he's standing right there with him. No longer did he attack Christians in verse 31. And because he got saved, look what the church had. Because Barnabas brought him beside him, because he got saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. There's some of you tonight, this church is prospering because you got saved. That's right. No preacher. Yes, sir. There's some of you in here tonight, this church is prospering because you rededicated your life. Brother Austin, can I use you for an example? Okay? Just use him. He said I could. Before Brother Austin rededicated his life, there was a burden on you. He was broke. He had a burden. He was in pain. And he needed relief. Every time he'd walk through them, listen to me today. Every time he walked through them double doors with that and sat down, every one of us paid for that, every service. That he brought in with him, that, now I'm talking about a man that's saved. I'm not talking about a man that's lost. I'm talking about a brother that's saved. We hurt for one another. We hurt. We have compassion for the man that's saved. We have compassion for the man that's on fire. We have compassion for the man that went to revival in North Carolina with me and prayed heaven down in that little old cabin up there. And then he's dodging church. Preacher, why can't you draw him back? It won't do no good. But I can tell you somebody that will. That old nitpicker. Here a little, there a little. Line up on line, precept upon precept. He'll draw you. He'll draw you. It done good when Saul got saved to help the church. I want to ask tonight, since you've been saved, has it helped the church any? If it ain't, I'd get saved. If it ain't, I'd rededicate my life. If since I come inside the local body church, if it ain't helped it none, that means it's hurt it. Saul got saved and it helped it. I don't want to be a hindrance here. But I don't want, no, there's not a person that's going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. There's not a person going to go before the great white throne judgment. You will not have the authority to stand before the great white throne if you're lost tonight and say that preacher didn't tell me that there's a hell. Your blood ain't going to be on my hands. No, sir. You're going to know tonight. You're going to know tonight that if you're saved, there's a change. And when you became a part of that local body and you came in saved, you came in and changed. Hey, it got better because you was here, not worse. I've seen some people come in and it get worse before it got better. They had to get saved. Man, that's the local body. Man, you know churches right now, if people don't die, it will never grow. They're lost and in leadership positions. They're lost. And that church that is suffering, and until they die off and get gone, it'll never grow. It'll never do. Because they want it their way. See, when Saul got saved, you know what? He went his way no more. He's underdog. He just wanted to get in with them. Boys, I'm saved. I just want fellowship. So, preacher, how can you say it helped the church? Let me show you what it did to the church. When lost people get saved, and the saved live like saved people. Right? Man, Brother Austin's been a blessing to me. You could put an APB out on him, couldn't find him a couple months ago. Now he's texting, wanting to know if I'm going to go rabbit hunting. That don't mean nothing, preacher. Last week, you know what I told him? I said, I got COVID. I'd be there, but I got COVID. You know what he told me? He said, I ain't scared. For 3 years, he ain't texted my phone. Am I lying? You know people in here. They're not mad at you. They're not hurt at you. They just don't want to be with you. Because they know where they're supposed to be.
Just saying. I can't sit at home. No longer did he attack Christians, but look what he did. He gave the church, look what he gave the church when he came on board. Verse 31, then had the churches rest. Man, they had rest. Since you walked in, man, you rededicated your life, that Sunday tears flowing down your face. I don't know how you live since then. Ain't none of our business. All I'm going to do is love you, son, just like I did when you was doing whatever you was doing. But you listen to me tonight. I see a rest on you. I see a rest on your wife tonight. I see God's blessing on your life tonight. Brother Roy, there's a rest on you tonight. Are you resting tonight? Look what he says tonight. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. That means they were uplifted. They were edified. They were uplifted. They were uplifted. When you can trust a brother or sister Christ, that uplifts you. Walking in fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And they were multiplied. When some, listen to this, that when you can, you get right where you need to be, your attitude, your actions, and no longer do you want to attack people, but you get to that place where you've been taken to a place, you've been brought in, and you can trust, man, just trust. When someone takes you or brings you in and trusts your conversion, you too will have peace and you will have rest. Tonight I want to read you a story I heard in closing. The story was told of a major flood. It was a major flood going on in the area. And people were trying to salvage what they could. They were trying to get all they could up and take care of what they had. And a policeman saw a young boy carrying both hands slapped full of stuff. Both hands were slapped full of stuff. He had them, couldn't get nothing else. Little old boy treading the water, slapped full of stuff. And on his back was a little boy. His hands slapped full of the little boy on his back, and he's a little boy himself. And he's coming through that water, and that policeman said, young man, you're carrying way too much. He said, let me help you. And the young boy said, it ain't too much when it's your brother. It ain't too much when it's your brother. It ain't too much when it's your brother. Tonight, when Barnabas seen Saul, he knew that's my brother. Brother Eric's tall. If I'm going to carry him, he's going to pick his legs up. Amen. But I try to coach you. I want you to know that tonight. Tonight, what I'm trying to say is, don't you get callous to a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. Don't you get callous to them. If they ain't doing what you don't, hey, don't you get callous and try to get your own little circle, your own little group, your own little gang. That'll kill a church quicker than anything. If there's a clique around here, I pray to God he busts it wide open. A clique won't work in a church. It may work at your workplace. It may work anywhere else you go, but it won't work in a local body church if there's a clique. It will not work. It'll destroy a church. But let me tell you something. When somebody says, I don't care what they say, you've been born again, come on, you can go with me. Oh, you want to go in the prayer room, but you don't think you're good enough? Brother Brad, you grab somebody and bring them with you. Huh? Brother Jerry, you grab somebody and bring them with you to the prayer room. When they don't think they're good enough to come to church, they got a pass, it's too bad, you know what? You get them, bring them with you. Why? Because we need to encourage people. Because the world isn't. I know they're waiting back there tonight to come on in. We're going to pray tonight over Brother Lee when it's over. He's got a test Friday. Got some scans they're going to do. And we're going to tote him. I have no idea what's going on in his mind. Don't want to know. He's got a lot going on. But I know this tonight. We can help tote him. You can be a Barnabas tonight. You know somebody you can help tote. You know what they're going through. Don't turn a blind eye to it. Help tote them. Take them where they need to be. Bring them where they need to be. And trust their conversion. Because tonight, if they've been saved, their actions, their attitude, and no longer will there be an attack against you. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I apologize tonight if anything I said was not scriptural. I apologize tonight and I repent if there's anything I said tonight that's not biblical. I ask tonight that you pierce the hearts of your people. Thank you for piercing my heart with it. Thank you tonight that there is Barnabas in my life. Lord, when nobody else wanted nothing to do with me, all they knew me as was a dope head. All they knew as I'd lost my job. All they knew that I'd lived any old way.
Most church folk want nothing to do with me, but I thank you for a place called Union Chapel Baptist Church. Lord God, I thank you for a place that you sent me out in the wilderness to preach like John the Baptist. Lord God, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Lord God, I'm not here for popularity. I'm not here for praise. I'm not here for nothing but to preach, thus saith the word of God. Lord, I don't want none. And heaven to gain. He didn't tell me. Lord, I don't want that on my conscience. Lord, I don't want that on my hands. I don't want that blood. Lord, I thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace. And thank you for the Barnabases that's in this room. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All God's people said, amen.